ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
In 2015, real estate heir Robert Durst was caught on a hot mic, seemingly confessing to three murders he had, to that point, gotten away with. Those five words, killed them all, of course, were captured when he agreed to participate in a documentary series called The Jinx. It was a sensation. And after 9 years, the filmmakers have returned with a follow-up asking, what happened next?
As The Jinx aired, Bob and I spoke after every episode. He was very nervous. And I thought to myself, he's gonna run.
My captain told me, whatever you do, don't let Robert Durst get away.
Bob is gonna flee the country, never to return. And of course, that didn't happen.
Wenli Maher is the culture editor of The Nightly and a regular here on Breakfast. Hi, Wenli.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. The Jinx was a big deal. But if you haven't seen it or have forgotten all of the details, it's been a while. What happened?
Well, I mean, Robert Durst was a real estate heir out of New York, and he was implicated in the disappearance of his wife in 1982 and the murder of his friend in 2000. And he was actually acquitted on a third killing of his neighbor in Texas in 2001, where a jury let him go because they believed he had acted in self-defense, even though he had chopped up his neighbor and like disposed of the body. So it was just kind of an extraordinary story. And so at that point, he'd kind of gotten away with it all. And then he agreed to do this documentary with a filmmaker named Andrew Jarecki, because Jarecki had made this fictional narrative film kind of based on him, starring Ryan Gosling. And I mean, I think his lawyer said, don't do it. It's probably a bit silly. And so they made this documentary. And at the very end, in the finale, he was caught on a hot mic while he was in the bathroom, not realizing it was still recording. And he made this sort of confession that he had killed them all. And it was an extraordinary turn of events, because the filmmakers were already in touch with law enforcement who were looking to reopen the 2000 murder case. And it was all very kind of happening concurrently in the US, because the night before the finale aired, he fled. He, you know, went on the run. He was eventually caught in New Orleans, about 600 kilometers from his home, with $40,000 in cash and a baggage receipt for another package that was going to have $120,000 in cash. You just cannot make this stuff up.
No, you can't. It's just so it's the stuff of fiction, right? So he gets arrested. What more do we need to find out? How do they maintain dramatic tension?
Yeah, there's a question like, why do you need a part two of The Jinx? Mm. Is there another six episodes in this? Because he was arrested. He was in prison for many years, and he went on trial and he was convicted. And then 4 months after the conviction for the murder of Susan Berman, he died. But all of that, a lot of that happened during COVID. Maybe not many of us were paying attention. I know I wasn't. So it was really interesting to kind of go back and see exactly how that happened. I think the most extraordinary thing is that they have all these recordings from when he was in prison, talking to his friends, his visitors. And it's just such an interesting revelation into a man who was patently either immoral, amoral, didn't care, only saw his own victimhood in being arrested, and just how he tried to continue to intimidate his circle of friends and acquaintances to make sure they don't cooperate with police.
Wow, it's such a yarn. Okay. Let me just tell you, Swift Street, a new crime series out as well, and lots of new TV out. That was Wenli Maher, who is culture editor at The Nightly and a regular on Breakfast, joining us this morning.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.